Hello and welcome to For Her Empire podcast. Today's podcast is about three empowering mindsets to nurture love while building your business. Now, we've had several divorces on the podcast, but today we're going to do something a bit different. We're going to talk about, having a good, stable relationship, a good, stable marriage, and a good, stable business. So the goal is to encourage and equip women to maintain a strong marital connection while building your business. So we want you to have that healthy marriage you dream of and still have that healthy, successful, and thriving business. Welcome to the For Her Empire podcast. I'm your host, Abby Ngaoche. And in this podcast, we address the personal and the business issues that female entrepreneurs face in their day-to-day lives. My guest today is Anvisa.
Yes.
So she's the co-founder of For Better Forever. Ooh, sounds dramatic. But let's have her introduce herself.
Oh, thank you, Abby. It's such a joy to be here on For Her Empire podcast. I'm very excited to meet you. It's wonderful. And I'm excited to talk about this topic. I'm part of a mother-daughter team. I work with my daughter, Hannah Visser-Pavez. And at For Better Forever, it's the place to build better relationships because we know that when our relationships are better, everything else is better, especially the relationship we have with ourselves and the relationship we have with others. So we really focus on those two parts of the business. And for almost 20 years, I've been working with women and coach build better relationships. I'm a certified John Maxwell coach, speaker, and trainer with For Better Forever, which I did co-found with my husband. And we live on a family farm in Eastern Canada.
Yeah, they're growing potatoes right now.
We're getting ready to plant today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. And so I had asked before we started recording, For Better Forever, how did you come up with that? Like, what's the story behind it?
Yes, it is really my why I do what I do. And it's because I married my high school sweetheart. We were 15 years into our marriage. Very romantic, Abby.
Okay.
But then it's not all romance. We were 15 years into our marriage. We had five children and we sat in our farm truck outside our favorite restaurant. It was supposed to be a date, but I looked at my husband and I said to him, I cannot do this anymore. And he looked at me and I could see the fear in his eyes. And he looked at me and he said, what do you mean you can't do this anymore? And I said, I can't do marriage like this anymore. I can't. We keep hurting each other over and over again. We just keep going around the same old thing. You know, for the first time in a long time, he heard my heart and he shared his heart with me. And I hadn't even seen his pain because I was so wrapped up in my own. But that night we recommitted to each other and we said, we need help. We need to get the help that we need. You know, I want people to know that love and marriage, they don't just happen. I thought it was just going to happen,
yeah.
Abby. Doesn't,
like,
isn't it?
I love you, love me, that should be enough. At least, like, what could I start with that? Yeah.
That's right. But we needed to invest in our marriage in time and money and emotional energy in order to have that kind of in love marriage that we dreamt of. I don't want to just be married. I want to be passionate about my marriage. And so today I want to share those three empowering mindsets to nurture love while building a business, because I believe we can have a great business, but if we don't have that great home life too, what is it for? Yeah. I know that the women that we work with, they do what they do for their families. They do what they do for their home. That's their why behind their business. And so how do we nurture that love? How do we nurture that marriage while we're building that powerful business?
I have a question. Yeah. So when do we start having this mindset shift, this conversation? Is it when we are at the point where we fought so many times and we're like, I cannot look at your face anymore? Is that when we're like, okay, let's calm down and have this conversation? When do we have this shift, this mindset thing?
I think we can have that mindset shift before we're even in a marriage.
No.
to have that shift about what it does it take in order to have a healthy marriage. I need to be healthy first in order to have a healthy marriage. It needs to be two healthy partners coming together, bringing 100% of themselves to the marriage, no 50-50, all of me in this marriage and working together to make it a healthy marriage. So that mindset shift, it can happen the sooner the better, the sooner the better. And I believe that we can start investing in ourselves before we even meet somebody to be a healthy person, so we can be a healthy partner coming into a relationship. And that's the way to have a great relationship, to be healthy myself.
And what about the, like, the vulnerability that comes with it, that comes with you sort of like, because at this point you are like bearing your feelings. What if the other person, like in your case, you know, you guys were at a standstill, but it was not just you, you know, that was frustrated. He as well was. So what happens if it's really just one person feeling this frustration, and the other person is like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, we are fine. So what happens?
Well, I think we need to hear each other's heart. And that doesn't always happen, right? And so we have to try different ways in order to communicate what it is, our frustration, what that is. We know that men live on the edge of shame and women live on the edge of fear. That's by Dr. Stephen Stosny. Great work, how to improve your marriage without talking about it. And when we trigger his shame or when he triggers our fear, then we are disconnected and we move apart. If we can talk to each other in a way that disarms that shame, disarms that fear, then we can hear each other speak to one another. I can give you an example of this, Abby. Yeah. For so many years, when my husband was driving and he's in the driver's seat and I'm in the passenger seat, I'd be like, "You're going too fast. Slow down. One day we were coming around a very tricky corner. It was icy here at Eastern Canada.
Oh boy. Oh, I'm not turning good, this right now.
Not good road conditions. And I said to him, "I don't feel safe when you drive this fast and the roads are like this." And he said to me, "Oh," and he slowed down immediately. And we have never fought about that again, Abby.
Wait, how come you did not realize that until you said it? Like, we're going fast. Why can't you see it?
Yeah. He could not see it because as soon as I talked to him that way, I was raising his shame.
Oh.
And when I disarmed that shame by saying, "I am afraid, I don't feel safe." And he looked at me and he said, "I want you to feel safe with me." Yeah. And it did. When we can disarm the shame and disarm the fear in one another, then we can have a good communication and actually break through to be able to understand each other's heart. And that's the key. That's the key to communication.
Oh, I get it now. Like, yeah. Instead of you saying stop driving so fast and implying that he's a bad driver, when you say that I'm afraid, now the shift is on you. And so it's looking at it from your perspective that, you know, she's afraid. Then he can now like slow down. Oh, I got that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, one of the healthy love mindsets that I want to talk about today is that healthy couples invest in their love and marriage. Like we talked earlier, I thought it would just happen, Abby. I didn't think I would have to do anything. I had this romantic view about marriage and it shouldn't just happen. We should just feel good about it.
Yeah.
But Dr. John Gottman talks about 5 magic hours. And this was so helpful for us to learn about the 5 magic hours that we could invest in time, money, and energy in our relationship to actually build a strong connection. And I love how he divides it up. He talks about partings. Like if we spent, say, 2 minutes, 5 minutes a day, five work days saying goodbye, that totals to 10 minutes at the end of a week. That's 10 minutes. That's the first of 5 magic hours. The second he talks about are greetings. So if we spend 20 minutes at the end of a day, 5 days a week, somewhere at the end of the day, and just kind of debrief, you know, how was your day? What happened in your day? What's new today? Mm-hmm. That ends up to be like 1 hour and 40 minutes at the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, right? Like, so we're greeting, we're parting and we're greeting. And then the third one are the admiration or the appreciation. We do this exercise at the end of every day where we ask each other, what was the high point of your day? What was the low point of your day? What do you appreciate about me today?
About me today or about your day?
Yeah, what was your high point of your day?
Uh-huh.
What was the low point of your day?
Uh-huh.
What do you appreciate about me today?
Oh, okay.
It is so nice to hear those kind words, that something that he appreciated about me today. Often it revolves around food, Abby.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, well, you cooked for me. That would be my answer anyway. Like, lunch was nice.
But when we share those appreciations, we've been doing that exercise for about 20 years. And over time, it's just so such a beautiful way to end the day. And when we do like 5 minutes, 7 days a week, that's 35 minutes a week. The next one is that he talks about affection, showing affection to one another. You know, whether it's a pat, a touch on the shoulder, a kiss, a hug. 5 minutes a day, that's not very much, Abby. We can all do 5 minutes a day, right? Like, just gross our kids out, right?
Yeah.
Gross our kids out, like, 5 minutes a day.
Get out, don't be gross in front of me.
Yeah. But at the end of the week, that's 35 minutes a week. And then he talks about the big one, which is a weekly date. Now, I prefer day dates to night dates. I prefer to go for a walk in the woods or go for a walk on the beach. We have beautiful beaches here. I love to get outside and hear the birds singing. And so when I plan a date, it's often simple beach walk. I just love to get out. But if we spend 2 hours a week, that all adds up together to 5 hours a week investing in our love, to build that connection that we have for each other, to keep communication open, to build happy memories into our lives and into our marriage.
Okay, another question. Can you hear me? Anne, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so now I have a question.
Yes.
The greetings, the goodbyes, like how was your day, telling someone bye, the affection, the dates, and asking what's your high point, what's the low point, what do you appreciate about me today. Wouldn't it start feeling like almost scripted or robotic when we are doing the same thing every day? Wouldn't you just start giving an automatic responses to the question, since you're gonna ask me the same thing tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day?
Yeah, no, not for us, because if I'm away and he comes to the door to greet me, that feels so good.
Okay, thanks for being so in love with my podcast right now. Like, you're showing your love everywhere. Thank you very much.
It's so nice to have someone who's willing, you know, we've talked about it and I know he's deliberately loving me on purpose. He is deliberately doing what we've talked about to care for me. Now, he doesn't always greet me at the door. I don't always greet him at the door, but we do try to make it a point of making that end of the workday about one another and what's happened in your day, what's going on, tell me. Because, you know, healthy couples are in the know with each other. That's a very important part of relationship, to stay in the know. And when couples say we fell out of love, they fell out of know. I don't know what's going on in your life anymore, because we haven't talked for a whole week, we haven't talked for a whole month. I don't know what's happening in your life. And life changes. Things change, life happens. One of our ladies at work this past week was diagnosed with possible cancer. It's pretty sure, you know, that's really impacted him. Last night, I could see it written all over his face. That was the low point of his day. Life changes. Mm-hmm. And it was so good to see him caring for his staff, right?
Yeah.
It was so touching to see. That was my appreciation of him. Like, you care for your people.
Oh, you turned his low point into an appreciation.
Exactly. That was my appreciation. Like, I really appreciate that you like your staff, that you care for them. That means a lot to me. I want someone who is generous with people. And so that was my appreciation last night. So, okay. You know, it's not robotic. In fact, it's the opposite.
Oh.
I know he is deliberately loving me.
Oh, yeah. He's putting effort and thought into it. That's one way to look at it. What about on days on days where, like, you're frustrated, Maybe you've had some bad news or something is frustrating you about your day. Maybe a project did not go through, a client has just ruined your day. So now, because I don't think when you're in like you're frustrated, you would have it to start telling somebody, "I love you." Like, I just want to be alone for a few minutes. Like, so on days where you're like just space, what happens?
Yes, that's a great question, Abby. And we had this conversation between the two of us a long time ago when he said to me, you know, when I come home from the warehouse, which is like a 2 minute drive, that's he said, that's not enough time for me to decompress. And he said to me, I'm going to come and say hello to you. And then I want to go to my desk and I want to just decompress. I need about 15, 20 minutes. And then I'm going to come. And then we can talk. That's
Okay.
a real life conversation, you know, that he had a need. And by the way, when we talk about feelings and needs, we're going to a very deep level of communication, right?
No, there's
When
so
we
much
say,
that goes into having like a relationship. It's so much work. Hey. It's so much work.
it's so much work and it's so worth it. Like, there is nothing else on planet Earth like knowing, being known, and being loved. I believe that we were made to be known and to be loved and to be cared for and to care for others.
So I think I've been like married for like 35 years.
You've been married for 5 years?
No, I should have been single forever. No, I'm saying you married for 35 years.
I've been married for 40 years. We have
40 years.
five
Wow.
adult children and 11 grandchildren.
Oh my God, it's like so many like tiny humans everywhere. Like, shoot, shoot,
Yeah.
shoot, shoot, shoot. You're like, I can imagine like somebody running around without wearing pants, like you see your naked bum, like, mommy, mommy, mommy. And
Can I share the second empowering mindset
actually, before you go,
with
I
you?
wanted to ask a question. Like, so
Sure.
when you guys were at that point, the what's supposed to be a date after 15 years and you're like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
When you guys were at that point, did the 5 magic hours was something that came into your head, or you had to go see like a marriage counselor or something?
Oh, that's a great question. We started with Dr. Gary Smalley's book, Making Love Last Forever. And it was a huge, as we applied the lessons we learned from him, we fell in love again. That's where we started. So he taught us pivotal lessons about conflict. He taught us that conflict is the doorway to intimacy. We were not fighting well. In fact, we had long, cold, silent wars where we didn't say anything to each other.
Yeah.
Because there was so much resentment building up, and then one of
Yes.
us would explode. Terrible communication,
Yeah.
terrible way to conflict.
Yeah.
And he taught us that the way that we fight could actually bring us closer together when we could communicate more effectively our feelings and our needs and go to that deep level of communication, be able to hear each other's heart in the midst of conflict. And then we could grow closer together instead of turning away from each other. So those lessons that we learned from him, just from a book, Abby, it helped us to begin to heal and to mend. And it helped us, it gave us some hope that, hey, maybe we can do this. I
No, I
think the
guess
world
you guys
needs
are
a little.
not ready to call this quits yet. Like, okay, let's try this again. Let's try and find the spark again.
Yes, exactly. And we had a lot of healing to do and a lot of mending to do, but that gave us the hope that, hey, maybe we can do this. And it kept, so we have not stopped studying. We have continued to study what makes a healthy marriage so that we continue to put new tools into our toolbox. We continue to learn from people who know better than we do about how to have a great marriage because I don't want to just have an okay marriage. I want to have like this amazing marriage. I want to love this man with all my heart so that he knows that he is the best thing on planet
Look at you guys showing your love everywhere. But okay. But it's great that it's not just one-sided, that it's not just you feeling this, or it's not just you having this thought, and it's not just you putting in the work or reading the books and trying to implement this, that there is someone who takes it just as seriously as you are, who also reading the books, putting it to practice, and cares enough about the relationship, not to maintain it. So that's a great thing.
Yeah, when we go on holiday, we actually take a marriage book with us. We're kind of nerdy.
All right. What's number two? You just have enough love in my face.
The second marriage mindset that I want to share with you is that what we focus on grows. That's not just for marriage, that's for anything. Like what we focus on grows. If you have a sore finger and you focus on that sore, that you're going to feel it and it's going to feel worse. We spoke with a doctor about that, and he told us what we focus on, the pain that we focus on grows. That's why coaching, by the way, is so empowering, because coaching focuses on the future and it focuses on the health. It looks forward instead of looking backward. It's looking forward. And I learned this lesson one day when Malis brought me flowers. My husband, he brought me flowers, and
Again, hey.
but you know what I thought, Abby? I thought, what does he want from me now?
Damn. Wow.
It's like, what? Where did that come from? Right? That's a terrible thought. Where did that
Yeah, you said you're romantic. What the heck?
but I recognized that I had a problem because he could do the sweetest, kindest thing for me, and I suspected his motives.
Yeah,
And I
it's all to your
recognized that
motives
this
and
was
everything.
not a that was not about him. That was about me and my mindset. And so I thought, I need to do something about this. I felt moved to write on a piece of paper, everything that's good about him. Now that was a good idea, but I was resistant. So I took the smallest piece of paper I could find. It was a little post-it note.
It
I'm gonna do what I think I should do, but I'm gonna resist it just a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I filled up the page, I flipped it over, I filled up the where I read every day.
Oh, sorry. Can
I
you
read
repeat
it
that? My
every day. And
internet
at first, I
just
didn't
they're
mention.
shaking. Sorry. From the point
I
where you flip the stick it to the next page.
sure. And I took that piece of paper and I posted it in a place where I would read it every day. And I read it every day for more than a month. But about a month later, he called me one day from work and he said he was cranky and he said, I'm going to be late for work. And he hung up the phone. And
I'm gonna
I
strangle
thought,
you. Yeah,
yeah. And I thought, oh, he's having a really bad day today. And then I smiled to myself and I was like, dude, I'm happy for you. Because I thought my mind has changed, my mindset, my attitude toward him had changed. Because ordinarily I would have thought, what is his problem? Like, why is
way,
he being
yeah.
so cranky with me? Yeah,
He's
why is he
like,
being so cranky with me? What
don't
did
put
I
that
do?
attitude at me right now.
But I recognized that my mindset had changed toward him because you see, what we focus on grows. And so I was focusing on the good things about him, and now I was starting to shift my mindset about who he was. Yeah, seeing the good things about him. Yeah. The
Guys, it's
third
not like
empowering
marriage goals, but okay, continue.
The third empowering mindset is that, and this is why we call our business what we call it. I believe that the changes that you and I make, they impact our children. That the changes that I make in myself and in our marriage, the changes that my husband makes, they encourage our children. They have an impact on our children and our children's children. That those changes pave the way for my children to stand on my shoulders, to see what it means to work on myself. And how that impacts our marriage and how that impacts our relationship with our children. And so I'm so grateful to be able to work with my daughter. And the work that we have done has inspired her to work with us. Now, I believe that an empowering marriage thinks about the future. We think about the impact that our actions have on the next generation. And that's why we call ourselves For Better Forever.
Yeah. And okay, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to ask this question, but I'll ask. So, are any of your kids married?
We have five, our five children are all married.
Okay.
Yes.
And how is their marriage like? As happy as yours?
Well, I don't think that I should maybe judge that, but I'm sure I am very hopeful that we have inspired them to work on their love and to work on their marriage for sure.
And Are there any points where let's say you could tell that your kids are having some issues with their marriage, maybe their husband or their wife is so slowly getting to the point where you and your husband were maybe not to that extreme, but they're starting to get a disconnect and you could see it. So at the end of the point where you're like, okay, maybe we come back and try this 5 hours of it then, like you and your husband get together. Are there any times that you feel like nudging your kids like 5 hours a week?
Our children, we have a great relationship with our kids, and they talk openly and about love and about marriage. And of course, we made them sick to death about all that we talked about
Yes,
marriage and love
I can
around the
definitely
dinner
see
table.
that.
We talked a lot about love and marriage and personal growth around the dinner table. So we've already invested a whole lot of conversations in what that looks like. And so they're open to come to us about when they're struggling, because we say, to couples, we do pre-marriage work as well, and we say to them, it's not about coming for help if you need help, but it's when you need help. I believe that every couple is going to run into struggles, they're going to run into challenges. The shame is in not going for help rather than
And
the other way around.
okay, now two scenarios. Scenario one is that this couple are already married and they're having let's say communication issues where they're having like a cold war of sorts in which I'm angry at you and I've not told you why I'm angry at you, but I sort of expect you, or at least I think you should know why I'm angry at you, and you're not talking to me maybe because you're also angry at me and you feel like it's my fault I've done something, so we are at a standstill. Out of the greetings, the appreciation and cool, which of these would you recommend they start with and slowly work towards that 5 hours a week?
I actually recommend that they work on their communication. Remember, we talked about feelings and needs,
Yeah.
and then that conversation we had in the car, I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
That's a really good place to start. I don't feel like I feel disconnected from you, and that's not what I want. I want to feel connected to you, but I'm really hurt
Yeah.
because what I really need from you is I really need. And whatever it is, I need you to communicate what is important to you. I need you to communicate why you're upset with me. I need you to communicate what's happening in your life. I need you to tell me what you need.
Yeah.
So those two levels of communication really help to bring a couple back together again. Any one of those, affection is hard to show when you're upset and angry with each other,
Yeah.
but spending time together, having fun is a great place to start to build a memory, a good memory,
Yeah.
before you begin that conversation. I think that's a really good place to start.
Okay. Now, the second scenario is this, that the couple are not yet married. But maybe they're from a divorced marriage, or maybe they within the family or within their friend sphere, there is the several divorces in there, and perhaps their faith in marriage is not as strong as it should be. They definitely love each other. They definitely see a future with each other. But given that I've seen lots of crumbling marriage, I might not want to take that leap. So now, what would you recommend is the step we should take? To not see the problem as not see the problem as it's been a marriage fault, but seeing the problem as those individuals' fault. It's their issue, not marriage issue. So how would you tell this couple that are not married yet, but have strong feelings for each other?
I would encourage them to find the books that help them to, if they're really serious about marriage. I have this one right here. Just worked with a couple last night on this,
Get you
getting
ready
ready for
for
marriage.
marriage.
This is a fantastic preparation for marriage. I would encourage a couple to focus on growing love instead of disabling love, which is divorce. I
Yeah.
would tell them to find a mentor. find someone that they can talk to about their fears regarding marriage, because those are very real fears.
Yeah.
And they need models in their life about what a healthy marriage looks like. The world needs more models about what healthy love looks like. And so I would encourage them to find someone who believes in love and who believes in marriage, and mine their mind to find out what is it that helps a marriage and love to grow.
Okay. Now my next question is inspired by a guest that had on the podcast. So her marriage, now they're divorced, had devolved into her husband getting physical on her, and that sort of led to the divorce, because it wasn't a one-time thing. It just kept recurring, and for her safety, she just had to get away from all of that. So if you're in a marriage where you've gotten to like either yelling at each other, throwing things, or getting physical with each other, like literally fisticuffs, would you say, okay, let's break this, or would you say, let us still work on this?
That's such a great question, Abby. I don't believe that that is marriage. I don't believe that a woman or a man should put themselves in a place where they will be physically hurt. And so there needs to be a whole lot of personal work on the other person's part in order to get back to being a healthy partner for their partner. I love the work of Dr. Stephen Stosny.
How to improve your marriage without talking about it.
Yeah. And so as long as they are physically safe, I don't think they should stay in a place where they're not physically safe. But if they're physically safe, this is a great program, because he works with men in prison, very hardened men, about how to tap into their core value and how to tap into the shame that they feel, which is the fear of failing, and then how to love. And so it's a very, very, it's a great work for that scenario.
Okay. And, you have shoved your love in my face and told me about your husband and your kids and your very happy marriage. So if anybody wants this happy marriage, how can you help them? Or maybe I don't know how to buy this book and give it to my partner. Okay, I have a copy of this. Can we both read it and then maybe make our own notes and then compare notes and see what stood out? So maybe if I don't know how to get to that point with my partner, like, you read this, and we wanted a third person, say you, how can do you do that, by the way? Do you do that sort of thing in the first place?
I work primarily with women. I work with a lot of women that put themselves actually on the back burner. They're tired, and we give them a safe space to take their hats off, to be able to give themselves time to grow and to nurture themselves. We not only talk about relationships with others, but we talk about that relationship that you have with yourself. Because when we are in a relationship that is abusive, we lose ourselves. Yeah. And when we're in a relationship that's not happy, we tend to lose ourselves. And so, you know, most women say that they do not struggle with a relationship with themselves, but that's where they're getting stuck, when they're not valuing themselves. So we help them to truly value themselves, to stop people pleasing. We've actually been doing a lot of interviews around people pleasing, Abby, and we've discovered that our women really struggle with people pleasing. And this makes us victims when we're people. I'm a recovering people pleaser, by the way.
I give less. I personally do not care. Like, are you paying my bills? No. Are you paying my rent? No. Are you buying me food? No. I don't care.
Yeah. So one way that people can work with us is we have a series of workshops. We've been doing free virtual monthly workshops, and we're doing it on the next one is actually May 24th, and it's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this one is called 3 Powerful Strategies to Stop People Pleasing and Start Loving Yourself Again.
Oh, so interestingly, this podcast is going to come out around second week of July. But you do monthly, so in July you would have another live workshop, right?
That's right. At the end of every month, we do a live. The last Monday of every month, we do
Last
a
Monday of every
live.
month. Okay.
Yes. And
Okay.
so your people are more than welcome to join us. We would love to have your people join us.
Come join her. Next year is this shoving love in everybody's face. Okay, so I have another question. This one is about not just the relationship, but now also the business or your job. So maybe you have a full-time job or you have your own business and you put in a lot of time, a lot of commitment, and at the end of the day, you're sort of exhausted more time than not. And maybe you might not have the time to start telling somebody every day about the highlights of my day, but I just want to go sleep. So, like, what do I do in that scenario? Like, I just want to go sleep. Tell me tomorrow.
Here's what I say. When relationships are going well, they take about 20% of our energy. When they're not going well, they take 80% of our energy.
Ay, there's so much effort. There's
Okay,
so
so they take a whole lot more work when they're not going well.
not
So
going well.
if we nurture that, we've got more energy to work on our businesses. So I truly, truly believe that if we nurture this, if we, I know you're tired, but that's why I love those 5 magic hours. It is only, he's talking about 5 hours in a week. You and I have got to find 5 hours in a week to nurture that relationship so that we can do other things. Otherwise, it takes so much emotional energy, so much time, so much trying to figure out, how do we do this? How do we communicate when it's not going well? It takes so much energy. So I really encourage, even though you don't feel like it, experiment with it. Like I just say, give it a try. Try it for a month. Give yourself a month and see what happens if you do it for a month. What happens to your love? What happens to your marriage in that month?
And what if it feels one-sided? What if I'm the only one, doing the greetings, doing the appreciation, planning our dates? What if it's one-sided? Am I still supposed to continue doing this until your partner starts tacitly reciprocating? Or do I tell you upfront, you do this as well?
Yeah, there's kind of two parts to that. So you can't continue to do that forever. That's not a marriage, not a relationship. But I have seen women work consistently on their marriage and their husband comes along. So I have seen it both ways. One person can make a difference because I believe that when I change the steps of the dance, in order for my husband to keep up, he has to change
Needs to
his steps
change.
too.
Okay.
But you can't do that forever because it does require two people with 100%. If you're going to be happy, 100% giving that to the relationship. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's kind of two parts to that, and it is a process to figure that out. Will they come along? If I work on this, if I work really hard on this for like 3 months, if I work on me, because it always comes back to me and my mindset, where is it? What's going on? Why am I so upset? Why am I so angry? What am I feeling, thinking, and acting? And if I work on that for 3 months, will that person come along beside me?
Because if they don't, it's gonna feel pretty terrible because I am putting in all this work and you're literally doing nothing. What the crap?
Yes. Yes, and passive men is certainly a challenge in these days. And eventually the other person needs to come along to do the work. Yeah.
And I actually forgot to ask. So I know you say you work with women, not just the relationship with your partner, but the relationship with themselves. And you mentioned that you have your free life workshops at the last Friday of every month. Now, apart from that, are there any other like programs or services that you do both to help individual women and in terms of helping their marriage work better?
Yes, absolutely. We have a membership for Christian women, and we meet every Tuesday night, and it's a virtual call, and it's like a group coaching call. Currently, we're doing the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, which has been very powerful. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, you seem excited, to
And
be honest. You seem
yeah.
very happy.
And we have our women decide their goals. So they're individually working on different things. So some of them are working on a business. Some of them are working on their marriage. And others are working on their own personal growth. It's an individualized program, although we're working together. So we always bring them back to what was your growth goal? Three of our girls have met their growth goals already and they're working on their next growth goal. Yes! Yes! So excited about that, Abby. It's so wonderful. And then, of course, I also work one-on-one virtually with women.
Okay. Yeah. Where can they find information on the membership and for the one-on-one, as well as some more information about the monthly live workshops?
Yes, for sure. They can reach me at Ann, without an E, A-N-N, at 4better, that's the numerical number 4, Ann at 4betterforever.com. That's my email address. We also have a website. It's www.4betterforever.com/. Yes, and we have a blog there as well with lots of free resources.
Okay.
And good of course, to have we're on the Facebook.
Video. Oh, you have a Facebook as well. Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm going to have the video in the video, your website on the video and the description, and the Facebook you just mentioned. I will also have that in the show notes or the description of each, whether in video form or audio form. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering if for better is the number 4 or the word 4, don't worry, it'll be in the video, it'll be in the description. You can just click on the link, it'll take you straight to her website. Now, I have bombarded you with several questions, but now I have one last question before I wrap this up. If there was one advice that you could give, you know, past Anne, before that day to where you and your husband or like, I can't do this anymore. There was one advice you could give past Anne, what would it be?
That's such a great question. Just give me a second. You know, I would say I did not start a personal growth program until I got into trouble. And Abby, I had no confidence in myself and who I was. And for the longest time, I had no confidence in myself and who I was. And it's only through the personal growth work that I have done that has made me, I would say, start sooner.
Sorry, that last part was breaking. Can you repeat that again?
I would say start sooner, Anne. Start today.
Start today. Even if you don't have the confidence, just start anyway.
Start that personal growth program and don't ever get off that train. I never want to get off that train, Abby.
Oh, okay. And okay, I have another last question. Now, for women who are listening to this, who have their business, and maybe their business started to take more time than their relationship with their spouses or with their family, what advice do you have for them?
Stick with those 5 magic hours. Carve out time. We're in that place right now, Abby, where I am working a lot of hours. I work a lot of nights. We still take the time to connect. We must take time. We must invest in our marriage, in our love. If we want the kind of marriage that is that in love kind of marriage, we need to invest time and energy and money in our marriage. It doesn't matter if you want to go for an ice cream, if you want to go for a walk, it doesn't have to be expensive, but it has to be time and it must happen.
Okay. Well, this is for Anne, who was married 40 years and still in love, and is still showing her love everywhere. Take it from her.
Thank you so much for having me on for
her, nice.
For her Empire podcast. Yes. Wonderful to meet you.
No, it's just nice because this is the first podcast interview we've had that sort of talks about a healthy, happy marriage. Most of the time we talk about divorce and divorce recovery, and like we've talked about the lady who divorced after the physical abuse and after gaslighting and the emotional abuse. And so this is like literally the first time we're talking about an actual healthy relationship. So it was very nice getting that perspective and knowing that, you know, you could be a successful serial entrepreneur. And yeah, you could have a divorce and you're still successful, yeah. But you could also still have like a healthy, happy, loving relationship. So that was very nice to get that. Thank you.
You're welcome, Abby, and I wish you all the best in your work with the podcast and your business.
Thank
And
you.
yeah.